We have callers on hold from Prescott Valley to Green Valley, Phoenix, Mesa, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348, covering the entire state. That's what we do here every Saturday morning at Rosie on the House. If you want to be part of it, it's simple. It's free. 1-888-767-4348. If you're just joining us, we're in the middle of a conversation with Joyce in Green Valley, who's been told not to plant citrus, but she just moved here. There's citrus on the property, and she wants to put in more. How are we going to help her?
Well, I would not want to contradict local advice, and certainly Green Valley's kind of sketchy when it comes to citrus as far as cold hardiness, and especially the last few years when we've had a couple, three pretty hard freezes. Those existing large citrus trees she has may have been planted back in the 80s and 90s when we went a long time without having any freezes. So, I can remember, growing up in the business that one time, even kind of considered Tucson marginal when it came to citrus. So it just depends on the part of the house you're planting them in, maybe where they're planted. Maybe a good candidate would be a dwarf citrus, maybe in a more protected area on the lot, or even in a container where it could be moved if you had to. Dwarf citrus make great container plants. And if worse came to worse, you could, get a hand truck or a dolly or something and move it up under the patio if it got cold again. So I would say in general, yes, Green Valley's probably just a little bit cold to have reliable citrus.
Okay.
All right. And where you said you knew, where'd you move in from?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
Well, certainly warmer than Denver. this winter.
I'm going to give you I don't know. Do you know of a nursery in?
In Green Valley?
In Green Valley?
Yeah, I don't either. Know if there's one in Green Valley, but there's several in Tucson.
Here's where I'm going to send you, Joyce. If you get on Sarita Road, take it to the east, you're going to run into Houghton. There's a light. It's about 10, 15 miles, turn north, and in about another 10 or 15 miles, you're going to come up on Savano. As for Eric Clark, they have every variety of food production, producing tree in the back. Except, I don't know about pecan, but they have pistachios, they have apples, peaches, plums. And if you want something that produces and maybe a little bit more hardier for your area, where you don't have to do this guessing game, that's your local resource. Appreciate the call. Welcome to Arizona. Chuck in Phoenix with a Brazilian pepper tree. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. Thank you. My Brazilian pepper tree was planted probably about a year, year and a half ago. And I would say it was probably 12 to 14 feet high. And then it got really damaged in the recent freeze. Mm-hmm. Pretty much all the leaves died. And now the new growth is pretty much all at the base of the trunk of the tree, going up maybe to about 5 feet, but at about the 5 foot level on the trunk itself, there's just a really small growth there, and that's the top of the new growth. Above that appears to be dead. So I'm wondering how do I trim it to return it to a tree, in essence, because they're really all the branches are dead.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to prune everything that's dead off, and the fact of the matter is it may not be a single-trunked tree anymore. It just is probably going to be a low-branching or a multi-trunked tree from here on out, which is kind of how Brazilian peppers really like to grow anyway. So if you were wanting a very classic single-trunked umbrella canopy type of a tree, you may no longer have that. and your option maybe just have to be to replace it. Otherwise, you just prune everything that's dead off and start letting it grow branches again and start selecting the branches in the direction that you want them to go and how far up the trunk you want to let them start occurring and go from there.
About this time last year, we put in a row of seven citrus trees. And I mean, all varying 5 to 10 gallon sizes. You know, every single one of them froze, lost every leaf. And I trimmed them once, the dead stuff off. Uh-huh. Some sprouts started growing. I had to go trim it twice. I've had to go out and trim it 3 different times because I didn't want to over prune it.
Right.
But those, you know, and you do a little scratch test and it's a little green, but it just never came back and it turned brown. It took me 3 times. But what's really tricky is it's got all that go natural paint. And some of those grafts are hard to find, and getting those shoots off below the graft is, you know, something that I don't want to discourage the new growth from coming, but I don't want the root ball and not the graft ball coming over. It's, I mean, you just got to go out there and you got to work with it.
Yep, and of course the graft on, he wouldn't have that with a Brazilian pepper tree, but with the citrus, it's also pretty easy to tell. The growth looks a lot different, you know, coming off the rootstock as well. So
it, what's different?
Well, it's got bigger leaf and have great big thorns on it. You know, eventually, you know, if you let it develop, it, you'd be able to tell. It just looks different.
It never gets past about fingernail size. I'm out there.
Okay.
Scott in Prescott Valley, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. I thought you guys forgot me.
No.
Hey, I got a question about a corkscrew willow. Planted it about 3 years ago. Seemed to be doing okay. Last season, I noticed down at the right at the ground level on the trunk, there was a split in the bark, and looked like a hole going into the trunk. And I took pictures of it, and I took it to one of the local nurseries, and I said, "Oh no, that's pretty common for those kind of trees. It's nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it." And now this year, I've got nothing. The tree has not sprouted at all except at the ground. I've got some shoots coming out of the ground. Hmm. So I don't know if that was related to it. Or the other thing is for some reason, I've planted probably 3 or 4 trees in that same location, and nothing seems to want to grow there. So,
well, maybe you're hitting on something there. There may be a reason then other than location, maybe your situation. We do get things where when the house was built.
The concrete clean out or the paint clean out.
Yeah,
they buried
the
hole.
Spot where they dumped all the construction waste. Believe me, I've seen some pretty odd things if you start digging and bags of concrete and cans of paint and paint thinners. And, you know, you do that in one spot, and they typically tend to do that in one spot. Not all the time.
You always have your clean out.
Yep. Where they washed all the paint cans out. That just may be the spot. And it may be that you want to move a little bit and try something different in a little bit different spot.
Now, if you wanted to, for whatever reason, this is a perfect spot. He's picturing 10 years down the road, his shade, his hammock, his mint tea, and I mean, that tree has to be there. How deep down do you think he should try and backhoe it out?
Well, I would go, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 feet. You know, the other thing to do is, you know, dig your hole, fill it up full of water, see how well it drains first. Make sure you've got good percolation. And, you know, width is probably as important as depth or more important. So go really wide, just excavate it, and then and go get some new fresh soil and haul it in there and give that a try.
Scott, we appreciate the call. Best to you getting that going. Jim in Mesa, good morning. Welcome to the program. How may we help you, sir?
Good morning. I wanted to ask a question. My wife loves hydrangeas.
Okay.
Are they plantable here and with this type of heat?
Generally not. You know, I'm sure now somebody will call and say, "Hey, I've been growing one for 20 years." But in general, they are kind of a gift/house plant. If you had a nice little atrium that was very well protected from the heat, that you could keep it moist and shaded, you might be able to grow it okay. If she loves hydrangeas, you know what? Go to the flower shop and buy her some hydrangeas once a month.
There you go. What would be a good alternative that would go bulbs, amaryllis? I'm not really sure what a hydrangea is or what it looks like.
You've seen them. It's a big ball of flower. They're usually blue or pink or I can't think of anything that's really a good alternative to that here. amaryllis do great here. It's not really the same thing, but if
what's
you
a
want
good color
real,
flower as an alternative? Maybe not a, look the same, but give her some plant color.
Well, there's all kinds of flowering shrubs that do well here. Again, you know, and amaryllis are striking. We had a lady from Sun City call. They do very well. They come back and bloom every year. Of course, there's all kinds of flowering shrubs, and you know, you could plant something like a, you know, Salvia grega. You could plant, of course, lantana. You can, this time of year, you can plant vinca and penta. Penta might be something. You know, it gets a nice kind of a large clustered flower on it. So, you know, there's all kinds of options. There's just nothing really probably that's that similar to a hydrangea.
And another resource for you, Jim, is plant-something.org, plant-something.org. On their site, they have it broken down by state, and then by state even more regionalized to elevation. And they have plant listings there, give you an opportunity to go search through there, see some options.
But if you go into any nursery this time of year right now, you'll see all kinds of options.
Any nursery, there you go.
You can find a list of nurseries on that same website.
Excellent. So go browse it, find something you like, walk to that local nursery, and there you go. Maybe not be a hydrangea, but some nice color for your wife.